This is Mary Jane from PiratePods.com, and I'm outside the loft at UCSD with...
Scroobius Pip from Dan Lasak versus Scroobius Pip. And I do kind of spoken word, hip-hoppy type stuff over Dan's electro crazy beats.
So you guys sort of started out with being a YouTube sensation for Thou Shalt Always Kill, and you went pretty quickly to playing really large festivals and touring around. So what's sort of been the highlight between all of that?
It's just been really good. I mean, it was mad that in our first a year and a half of being a band or working together, we were playing like Coachella and South by Southwest and things like that. So it's all just been a highlight upon highlight. I think it's been a crazy because of YouTube and the internet, it happens all over the world at the same time. So we've been out to play Fuji Rocks in Japan, and we've played tons of festivals in the UK and Europe and everywhere. So yeah, there's loads of different highlights. It's good.
Is it kind of odd to see yourself as like a YouTube star?
Yeah, it's weird because it's I don't know, it's an odd boast. Thankfully we've got the album out now, so there's more content to it as opposed to just being, I've seen you on the internet. Like, all right, okay, what does that mean?
Shake it like a photo or a picture. That should all wish your girlfriend was a freak like me. I should spell the word Phoenix, P-H-E-O-N-X, not P-H-O-E-N-X. Regards to the Oxford English Dictionary tells you. That should not express your shock at the fact that Sharon got with Brad at the club last night by saying, is it? Thou shalt think for yourself. Thou shalt always kill.
Like you said, your album's out now, and what do you want listeners to get from that? Because it's sort of an unconventional listen.
As my half of it is doing the lyrics, I just try and talk about subjects that aren't generally talked about in music, and just try and push the listener a bit to kind of have a challenging subjects. A few of the songs aren't particularly comfortable listening because they're quite, you know, harsh or serious subjects, but then there's also a lot of fun on there as well, and lightheartedness and, yeah, enjoyable bits. It's not all doom and gloom.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I really enjoy the album art from everything you guys have released, and so it always makes me think of you as sort of a cartoon character, and I'm just wondering, if you had a 2D alter ego, what sort of adventures or battles would it get into?
I don't know. There's too much to think of. A guy recently contacted us about doing a little comic book of me and Dan, and he asked us what adventures we wanted to get up to. It's like, can't really plan that. I don't know. Just whatever the artist springs to mind.
If you were to get into a freestyle battle, who would you want to go up against, and who would win?
We're touring at the moment with B. Dolan, who's on the same label as us, Strange Famous Records, and the head of that is Sage Francis, who's a really good freestyler, and B. Dolan's a really good freestyler, and I can't freestyle at all, so I'd like to battle both of them at once, just so I've got an excuse for losing. So I was taking on two of them, they're both good, that's why I lost, as opposed to just a losing miserably to one of them.
Yeah. I read that when you guys sort of put songs together, you work separately and then sort of put the both halves together. How does compromising with that go? Do you feel like one person has larger sway over the other?
No, I mean, it's really good because we work over email, basically. So if you're in a room together, it's harder to kind of say, I don't like that bit, or that's not right. Whereas if it's a calm, relaxed email, it's kind of easier to both impose your own will upon it and come up with good compromise. Both of us are comfortable in telling the other if there's something we don't like about a track, so it's cool. Mm-hmm. It works.
Do you feel like one of you has to fix your half more than the other?
And not yet. And I know it's been, I mean, there's not been a lot of criticism on either side yet so far. We had one track where we toiled over it for ages, and then both of us kind of went, lyrically, it's not the best track, beat wise, it's not the best track. So we've kind of shelved that one for the moment. And yeah, that was the only one that we had to broach that kind of decision, but both of us agreed, so it's all good.
So, what's your sonic guilty pleasure?
I've got this big thing where I don't think a guilty pleasure should be guilty a pleasure. I think if it's a good song, it's a good song. On a tour in the UK, it was like a 10-date tour, and every day I listened to the greatest hits of Cyndi Lauper from beginning to end repeatedly, and I couldn't get enough of it. And it's just good pop. And I on the plane today, I'd grabbed some new stuff on my iPod, and I was just listening to loads of Bruce Springsteen, which again isn't the kind of thing I normally listen to, but you know, if it's good music, it's good music.
Yeah. Well, I read that you've got some stand-up mic skills that you learned from Prince. So does Dan have anything that he does on stage?
Dan's got some moves. He's got some little dance moves he pulls out in the appropriate places. I've pretty much only got a one mic stand move I stole from Prince, but as no one expects me to have any, it stands out and looks good. When Prince does it, obviously it looks way better, but you know, yeah, it's good fun. I practiced in my living room for a while.
Yeah. Are you going to do it tonight?
I don't know. It depends what songs we play. We sometimes do a Prince cover, and that's where it kind of came from, because I'm a little bit obsessed with Prince. So we were doing a Prince cover, and I'd practiced it at home, and then in a gig I tried it out, and it went well. So maybe tonight, yeah.
If Dan Lesac versus Scroobius Pip were to be known for one thing only, what would you want it to be?
Just facial hair. I think forget all the deep meanings in the songs and the great beats Dan makes. Just, we've got big facial hair. So, you know, I think that is what we will be remembered for. So, yeah, I'll go with that.
Okay. And you both have got side projects that you actively work on. But would you ever want to work outside of music?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I've got in my lyrics, I like to do a lot of storytelling. I've got three or four stories that I couldn't do as lyrics. I'd like to turn into films at some point, but I've not had the time to learn script writing and that kind of thing. But sometime along the line, I'd love to do as something like that. And both me and Dan have had a bit of fun doing some radio and some TV and stuff like that. So there's a lot of areas I'd like to look into. But at the moment, the focus is purely on Yes, just all on the music. I mean, as soon as we finish touring in January, we're going to be working on the next album. So, although we have side projects, it is very, the main thing is Lesac versus Pip.
And what are you most looking forward to coming up?
January, when we get some time off. I love gigging and I love touring, but the kind of early year tour turns into a festival circuit, so it changes a bit, and then we go back to just actual a gigging. And it's going to be good to just take some time off and write and see what we can come up with. And yeah, because we've been playing the same material largely with a few variations for like a year and a half kind of thing, so we really want to get some new material to give people a reason to keep coming to see us, because we're still getting really good turnouts in the UK and wherever we go, it seems. But it's starting to feel a little bit as if we're cheating people, because if it's the same songs again, it's not. We've added a few, but we want to not a gig again until we've got a whole new body of work to push.
Yeah, well, that's got to be hard playing the same songs over and over. How do you guys keep it like new for yourselves?
I said, I mean, it's always enjoyable for me, because the crowds are always different, and so much of a performance relies on the crowd and the kind of crowd. Some of the bits I enjoy the most are just the banter in between songs, and the, do you know what I mean, just getting to know the individual crowds and how they are. It's always good fun. I mean, we did two gigs in New York on this tour in the same place, one after the other, and the crowds were completely different. One was far more of a all had to be up tempo and beaty, and we shot through, and the other we were just chatting for about 20 minutes between each song, and it was a really relaxed, laid back one. So it's just, yeah, we get the variation from the variation of crowds.
I always ask the same three questions at the very end, right. And the first one is, do you have a slang term that you overuse?
I don't know. I don't know if I did. You see, I think on things like that, you'd need to ask a Dan if I have one, and me if Dan. A Dan off as a recently started using the term showy a lot.
Yeah.
Just showy, and just so he's using that a lot. But I don't know if I've got any that I overuse. I might do.
What's your drink of choice?
Well, on the only drink I have on the rider is a bottle of rosé. Just because I used to have like cocktails on the rider or beers on the rider, and when I'm on stage, I'll be honest, you know, if I've had loads of beer, I get a bit burpy, you know, I can't deliver the lines as well. Whereas a nice bottle of rosé just goes down beautifully.
Okay. And how do you feel about eyeliner?
I don't really know. I've never used it. I've got really thick long eyelashes. They're kind of like a girl's eyelashes. So people often think I've got eyeliner or eyeshadow or anything on, but yeah, no, I've never used it, but I've seen some guys and girls all look good in it, so yeah, I've got no problem at all with eyeliner.
Okay. Is there anything you'd like to say to close this out?
No, I think that covers it all. Hopefully it'll be a good gig and we'll come back again soon.
God forbid I suggest she lets me kiss them, but really want to know what she thinks of me, because I'm loving every idiosyncrasy. Buying one's jumper, who's to make a first impression? Been there, done that, learned the worst of lessons. Want to be loved for who you appear to be instead of who we are. A real slag, a bouncy brown, a pomp and a facade. That's true, the rude boys down in pints act hard. Kids shall a convention with clinical disregard. This is the big